your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is The Journey. I'm Jen Cruz, and I just wanted to say I got so many wonderful messages from the listeners about last week's show, saying that the show was too short. They wanted more. So here we are. Continued from last week, we've got Jenna Grover back on with me. Hi, Jenna.
Hello. How are you, Jen?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm excited for this weekend.
Oh my gosh. I'm so super excited. I love traveling with you. We have such a good time.
You know, so, hey, everybody. Jenna is one of the She Squatchers with me, and we're that all-female Bigfoot team here in the Midwest. And we have a big event coming up this weekend in Minot, North Dakota. And if you're not familiar with Minot, there is an Air Force base there. And there is a big commercial that everybody, I think, in the entire region up here knows, that the ad says, "Why not Minot?"
I've said that many times.
Right? So I'm thinking, does Bigfoot say, "Why not Minot?" What do you think, Jenna?
You know, I think Bigfoot may think many things, but I don't know if "Why not Minot" would be one of them.
Well, I'm just, it's my cute way of wondering if Bigfoot's over there.
Oh, okay. Yes, Jen. I think maybe Bigfoot might be saying, "Why not Minot?"
There you go. Why not Minot? So we're going to check out Minot. We're going to be there with an event called Body Lab USA, which I often travel with for my business, my personal business. And I was going to do that anyway, but I thought, oh, Minot is so far away into North Dakota. And the She Squatchers haven't reached that far out into North Dakota yet. What a perfect opportunity, since we're already going to be there.
Oh, yes.
So we'll just make the trip just a little longer, and we will do a little squatching and have a public meeting, in which we call a Bigfoot banter. So this upcoming Saturday is November 18th. We will be at the Body Lab USA event inside the conference center of the Sleep In and Suites in Minot, North Dakota. We'll be there from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. all day at our booth for anybody who wants to come and talk with us or take their picture with us, whatever you want to do. And there's going to be lots of vendors there. It's going to be a fun day. Full of workshops. I'm also speaking. I didn't pay any attention. I think I'm speaking in the morning for my business. So if you are interested in neuroscience and energy healing mixed together, then make sure you make it in the morning and you can come see me talk about that. So I'm speaking, I'm not going to say, I don't even know for sure, because it's been like every weekend I've done one of these now because this is the season. This is the end of the season for that until spring season opens again. So I think last time I spoke at 10:30. So I know I'm first on the list of speakers though, so I'm probably speaking at 10:30. So we'll be there all day. At 5 p.m., the event ends, and we begin our signature Bigfoot banter, which is a public, like, town hall meeting in the same location. They're letting us use the space for that. I'm hoping it's big enough. I'm hoping it's big enough. Although, if too many people show up, that's kind of exciting, too, because that's happened, right, Jenna?
Oh, yes. That's very exciting when there's not enough room and people are standing. I feel bad for everybody. But for us, it means that there's so many people interested in what we're doing. You know, so that is just really exciting. I love it.
Yes. And I think it was so, I don't know, like a sign. When I made the event page on Facebook for the Minot Bigfoot Banter, one of the pictures that it pulled up to show at the bottom, and it just like randomly does it from our page, I think, was a picture of you doing a selfie, and behind you is the hallway of the line of people that can't fit into the room we were speaking at the Ralph Engelstad Arena in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, when they hired us to speak at the Home and Sportsman show there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
For those who don't know that area, the Ralph Engelstad Arena is an Olympic-size hockey rink stadium. So it's a big space, and they gave us a pretty good area to speak in, but it filled up really quick, and the line went out the door and around the corner of people who didn't get to come in. And I honestly don't know how long it went beyond the corner. Did you look?
I didn't look. I just know that in my selfie, it looked like a lot of people. First of all, I don't take a lot of selfies, Jen. I try to, but it just doesn't work for me. So I really depend on you to take those selfies. So the only time
those
I got to see who was
you?
Behind. Oh my gosh, yeah. You're like the selfie queen. You are so good at it. And I was like, to have you do my selfies. But no, that selfie, yeah, that I don't even think that selfie like showed how many people were in line there.
I know it didn't, because I know there was a corner behind that it turned at. But I just happened to notice the picture there, and I was looking at you looking so excited in the picture. And everybody in the picture behind you is looking so distraught, looking at you like,
oh. I know. They were all like, this is the worst line ever.
because I think they already knew at that point they weren't going to get to come in. And the event organizers were like, we totally underestimated how many people would show up for this. And, you know, so like I said, I hope that the area that we have available to us in Minot is large enough for the people that show up. And if it isn't, you know, I guess maybe we'll have to do two of them or something, because I feel bad about sending people away.
Oh, definitely.
So, and we wouldn't be on somebody else's schedule, so. At that particular day, we had to do it within a certain time frame, so we couldn't just be like, okay, next group, come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have one of these, and, you know, I love those, because you can really tell how many people in the world love Bigfoot. So I got a little bone to pick with Jenna tonight over something.
Uh-oh.
So, out of curiosity, it occurred to me to ask her when I had remote viewed the area where we were going to go Bigfoot hunting for our big expedition, right before, well, fall, I guess, fall expedition. And we hadn't actually gone directly to a spot that I remote viewed and selected before together. And so it occurred to me that she went right along with it, no big deal, you know. And it occurred to me, I wonder what she was thinking. So I asked her, Jenna, what did you say? What did you say?
Well, I said, as far as going, I said, I trusted Jen. You know, I trust Jen and I trust what she does. I'd never really paid attention all that much to remote viewing, and I didn't know enough about it. I trusted her, and I really didn't know if there was going to be anything, though. I really didn't. And so I guess I walked in with my eyes open and my heart open and my thoughts open, thinking, all right, let's do this. If it's there, it's there. And if it's not, it's not. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just... Sorry,
yeah,
Jen,
but
No,
I wanted you to be honest for real, because I thought, wow, she's gung-ho. But, at the same time, I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because, you know, even I sat back and thought, you know, this, you know, after I think, because in the moment, I'm just there and I'm doing it and I just know that something's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know, when I follow my instincts in the moment, it's happening in the moment. I didn't pre-select the place where we found footprints. We were driving by at 55 miles an hour, and I felt it. And I was like, stop the car, turn around, go back. You got to get in there somehow.
Yeah, well, and I have to admit, too, when we got out of the car, Jen, okay, we got out of the car, and here I am, the first time, you know, going out with the remote view, and I was trying to get all my things in my bag and, you know, get all my equipment ready. And she was getting kind of crabby with me. She was like, come on, Jenna, we got to get out to the woods. I mean, she was adamant. And I was just like, oh, I just got to wait. You know, well, I got to get my stuff.
There was a reason I was getting upset, because before we got out of the car, you know, Nikki was driving. I had the phone in my hand and with Google Maps open and watching us going down the road as the blue dot, right? And it was between two places. I wanted to park the car directly between the two places so that when I said you go straight out from the car, that, you know, and you won't miss it. Just go, don't turn, just go straight out from the car. Whichever direction you choose. So you had two choices, mm-hmm. right? You can go right, and about in 100 feet, you reach the scary Bigfoot face that I saw, which was actually a huge face. It was actually, I lined us up with like an eyeball. So it was like defining an entire big area that I saw that big face. And I lined us up with an area across the trail that we were driving on. I didn't know what it was. It just showed itself to me as something, because when I'm remote viewing and I'm asking a question, it's interactive. So it responds to the questions that I'm asking, you know. I could ask, you know, where's Jenna? And, you know, hopefully it would show me that. Or I could look at a house and say, what's going on there? What's the problem? And, you know, so it's not just Bigfoot stuff. I mm-hmm. wanted to see, I mean, this is something that I've been doing for paranormal investigations for a long time and really good at it. You know, I haven't so much tracked everything for da-da-da-da-da, but everything comes back right, as far as I know. So I felt really confident in doing that. So can we find the location based upon remote viewing and just select a location to go to? And that's what we were doing that day. And what was really neat is, you know, I wanted to park us between those two. So we had two options. We can go right or we can go left. You know, Jenna, you were so busy with your thing when I decided to go right first. You didn't even see the rock that fell at my feet because something threw a rock at me. So I'm like, come on. And I was standing on the road, like trying to sense out into the woods. And that took one step and the rock came. And then I just kind of stood there looking around like, what threw the rock? Because I've had rocks thrown before, but it was at night. And it's not like they're ever trying to hit you. They're just trying to stop you.
Mm-hmm. Or get your attention.
It's very. It seems very playful, but that particular time it was like, Where the first, you know, the other time that it happened in the woods at night, it seemed almost like, let's mess with them.
Playful.
You know, playful type thing. So, I was standing there, and then Nikki, you know, before we had even gotten out of the car, I told the girls, okay, we're parked between the two spots. 100 feet to the right, straight out, you're going to reach the area that I saw the big scary Bigfoot face. And it was scary, and I don't know how to feel about that. I really didn't know how to feel about feeling scared about that. And then I said, but if you get out of the car to the left and go straight out, straight into the woods, within 100 feet, there should be something. I don't know what it is, but it wasn't scary. And so it showed me this area. In the question I was asking for is, where is Bigfoot? And I see this big face, right? All of a sudden, mm-hmm. showing up on this area of the map. Okay. And then I'm like, okay. And then I'm looking for Bigfoot and or Bigfoot evidence, something related to Bigfoot. And that's what the other side of the trail showed. And so I didn't actually see a Bigfoot there. I saw it just like lit up. It's like here. You know, I was like, okay, but I didn't know what it would be. So I didn't know what we were looking for.
Well, Kat actually was asking a question. How do you plot on GS, or how do you plot on GPS where you remotely viewed area is?
Well, it's really not that specific. I open up Google Maps on my phone or Google Earth on my phone, and I just start looking at areas, looking at a woods somewhere. I knew where we were planning. You know, we were planning to go to a specific reservation, Indian reservation, which was very large. So I just started to look at the wooded areas that were very remote, that seemed like that would be prime Bigfoot area. Mm-hmm. So I just started to scan, and it, you know, it's actually pretty easy for me to do it. So some of that really just popped out right away, and the other stuff, you know, I have to look a little bit harder and ask a little bit more questions. And since it doesn't come through like words at all, it's just like pictures that are interactive in response to what I've asked, what the question that I've asked. The whole time, every time I looked at that and I saw that giant Bigfoot face that seemed scary, I thought it's an aggressive male. That's what I thought. And I wasn't quite sure I wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. But yet I was willing to walk up there, walk in there. What an idiot, huh? Anyway.
Well, you can't be the only one.
What was I thinking?
Right. You're not the only one. I'm following you, or in front of you, or on the side of you. So we're both.
This is true. And she's the fearless. She's the fearless one over there. I tell you what.
I am.
Yes, she just wants to get in there. But so when Nikki said, oh, look at that, because she was looking to the left, because I said there's something else to the left. I don't know what it is. And she had thought she saw something through the woods. You know, she was looking, you know, pretty hard, and she thought she saw something. Mm-hmm. And so she said that, like, shortly after the rock had fallen at my feet. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take that as a hint. Don't go that way. Stay away from the big scary face. Duh. So so we decided to go left. So I moved over to the other side, and I'm standing in front of the woods to the left, trying to see what I sense or see. And I'm seeing stuff. And I'm like, Jenna, come on, we got to go get in there. The reason why I was rushing you is because I wanted to get in there before they realized there's somebody coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I think the difference here is that generally when people are looking for Bigfoot, they're out there tramping around for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until they get there. We weren't doing that. We drove as close as we could have possibly gotten to it, which was literally 75 feet in from where we parked.
Yeah, that was pretty right on. I tell you, I wasn't expecting that, Jen. Like, literally, I was not expecting you to be that right on. So I'm getting to be more and more of a believer of remote viewing. I can tell you that much. And you are working with me, and I hope you work with me even more, because that is really exciting to be able to do that.
Yes. I sit back and I think about it, and I'm like, yeah, that's a win. That's a win. I felt that way too when I would do paranormal investigations, where I would remote view a location before they would do their walkthrough. So mm-hmm. they didn't really even know what was going on there yet. And I would look at the place and I would tell them what I saw. And sometimes the things don't make sense to me at first. And then after they go there and they come back and they tell me, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. You know, like the giant two-story cat that's bigger than the house, sitting at the back door, obsessed with the back door, waiting for somebody to open the back door. And then there was a dog there too, but it was regular-sized dog. And I knew what kind of dog, and I can't remember what it was at this time. It doesn't stand out as important in my brain. But I had no idea what a two-story tall giant cat meant, but I still told them, you know, this is what I saw there. And of course they went there and come back and say 29 cats sitting at that back door, staring at the back door, waiting for somebody to open that door. And,
oh,
and,
wow.
one dog, and it was the kind of dog I said it was.
See, now that's awesome to get that kind of verification that it's that right on. That's exciting.
But now I know what a giant cat means. It means there's lots of cats. It means lots of cats is what it means.
Well, and you were telling me before, too, no matter if it's with psychics or if it's whatever you see or deal with or work with as far as what you're receiving, everyone has their own kind of alphabet kind of a thing where
vocabulary.
Vocabulary, yes. That's what it is. Yeah. And I thought that's really true. That actually just happened to me today. I was looking for beads, some precious gem beads, and I talked to someone. My whole body went completely into goose pimples, and I was thinking, what in the world? And it ended up that I think I was supposed to just relay some information, but you were talking about the vocabulary kind of a thing out when you're remote viewing about the big cat, you know?
Yes.
So that's, sorry, it totally got me onto another subject. Sorry, everybody.
It's okay. Her ADHD kicked in.
Oh my gosh. It's terrible.
It's all good.
Look a bird.
When the cat's asking, were the cats standing on one another's shoulders? They were not. They were just apparently just all sitting there, all staring at the door, waiting for someone to open the door, obsessed about it. I guess they sit there all the time, waiting for someone to open that door. Those poor cats.
Did they feed them?
Yeah, they fed them. They came out of that door to feed them.
Oh,
so that's where they would come outside at. So they would just sit there and wait for somebody to come. But I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. And one dog, regular size. It was just one dog. So, I mean, that kind of thing. So when it would come back and it would be showing itself as showing me what it meant, because I didn't quite understand, why am I seeing a two-story tall cat? It's taller than the house. I mean, that didn't make sense to me, you know? But yeah, you're right, Kat, in the chat room. She says, 29 cats stacked up on top of each other might equal two stories high. Ha ha. So she's absolutely right. Maybe it would. So, but anyway, so that's the kind of thing when I would find out it was right, or find out how it was right or what it meant, I would be, it's like a little celebration. It's like, yeah, score, you know, you made a touchdown or whatever. That's kind of how it feels. It's very satisfying to see, you know, the information come back. So when we were walking into the woods, or I was walking into the woods, and I actually thought I saw movement back there, because I started seeing there's a structure there. I started seeing what looked like movement back there. I'm like, come on, Jenna, right now, let's go now, right now.
and that pretty much at that time, I realized that I don't have enough hands to have as much equipment as I have. You know, so I think next time I'll be able to get out much, much faster, because I think I'm just going to go with certain pieces and then come back to the car if I need some more.
Yep. And that's exactly what we do, because I had already packed my fanny pack, courtesy of Jenna.
Thank you.
She got into fanny pack. It's so much better than a backpack when you're in the field. You just reach down, unzip, take what you need and zip it back up, and you're trucking. You don't have to take it off.
We need to sell She Squatchers fanny packs, I think. If you guys think that's a good idea, let us know, and then we'll come up with an idea to make She Squatcher fanny packs, because we're bringing fanny packs back, baby.
Yeah. Well,
I want it anyway. They're awesome.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think that they were so awesome until it was so much. I borrowed one of Jenna's one day. And I was like, wow, this is so much easier than taking off my backpack and digging through it to get my thing and putting it back on. I could just reach down, unzip, take it out, and off I go. So much better. So I had my fanny pack packed for my day trip with my day stuff. And so, you know, I have different equipment that I would use at night. So we should probably have a fanny pack for each. So we just grab and go. Hey, that's a really smart plan. Let's do it.
I tried.
Anyway. So, and then the rest of the stuff can be in the car. We can always go back for it if we need it. Mm-hmm. But I was rolling. I had my GoPro on and it was rolling. And I had my camera in hand and off we were. And I was like, we got to get it. We got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the very first, when we were coming up on it, I think that if there was anything moving that didn't want, you know, that's where we probably would have been capturing the most stuff. I was like, we got to get in there right now.
I have to say I made a huge mistake. A lot of times when you're out in the field, you don't have bathrooms and things. So we ended up stopping because, you know, a couple of people had to go to the bathroom, and my bladder said, no, I don't have to go right now.
Oh, Jana, that's so, that wasn't that time, though, unless you did it there, too.
Oh, it was the second time.
Yeah. Oh. When we absolutely knew for sure there was something there.
That's right. Oh, oops. Well, needless to say, I kind of figured out from Jen that there may be more of an etiquette about going to the bathroom on near an area. She had mentioned that you have to be careful. You know, animals tend to think going to the bathroom is a scent of marking your territory. Well, I didn't think anything of it. And they had gone further away. And then I happened to go, oh, well, I have to go. So I quick hopped out, went, and she was just like, oh, man, Jenna.
Like, what are you doing?
And I was like, what? I had to go to the bathroom. She goes, Jenna. And that's when she kind of explained to me, yeah, now I know the etiquette. We should write a little book on Bigfoot hunting etiquettes.
Yes, yes. Try not to mark your territory on there when they know that you know that they're there. I mean, it would be completely different if we didn't know that something was there and we're just hiking in the woods, Jenna. But they would already know that we know that they're there because we were there before.
But what if I was just saying, hey, you know, it's me again. So now you can, you know, you'll recognize me the next time I come.
I don't know. I'm
just trying to make it sound good. So sorry. I won't do it again.
That's okay. So, but we literally had stopped on this little trail long down the road before we got near it so that I could empty my bladder before we got anywhere close to it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't tell me. So how
I did. I said before we get close to it, I need to empty my bladder.
Well,
that's why I got out of the car.
See, and my mind goes 100,000 miles an hour, so I thought, oh, she just has to go to the bathroom. I didn't hear anything else you said. So when you're talking to me, please make things clear.
Okay, I thought I was being clear. Okay, note to self. Jenna, did you understand? Do not pee on location where we know Bigfoot stuff is.
Perfect. That's all I need to hear. And just say, Jenna.
They know that we know that they know that we know. So if you mark their territory here, it might be the wrong message.
Yes. So I'm okay. I know for future. Sorry, guys, not to mention all this personal stuff, but you're learning too, so you know what not to do and what to do.
Yes, yes. So I don't know for sure that they mark their territory that way. I was just being on the safe side. I just wanted to be, you know, plus, you know, hey, you know, we said we were going to put ourselves out there, but I didn't mean like whip it out, Jen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed everything you said. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
So anyway,
did you see what Kat wrote?
My guess is animals know when you gotta go, you gotta go. I think that they do. And I, you know, and that was assuming that Bigfoot was just an animal. And I don't think that Bigfoot is just an animal. I just wanted to be having good etiquette and being polite and respectful of the ideas that, you know, that might be how they mark their territory. You just don't know.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it was a full moon in Minnesota that night, Kat. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. Are we going to get beeped?
It was just full moon in Minnesota. So, because she said whip it out. So
I know.
Anyway. So Jenna, I wanted to ask this. When we were walking into the woods and you started to see there's actually something there.
Okay, well, first of all, I was looking everywhere, and Jen was taking her, it was like she kind of was guided to the right spot, and I was just kind of all over, and she goes, Jenna, come here, you got to see this, is this something? And she knew it was something, but I'm sure she just wanted me to say, yeah, and I did. At first I looked at it, and I was like, and then I thought, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm dumbfounded at this point because I'm thinking, this is really cool. I can't tell you if it's man-made, Bigfoot-made, animal-made, whatever-made, but I can tell you I got in that thing, and it was the coolest thing. My gosh, I was I was excited. I'm still excited. That's all I have to say about it. Did that answer your question?
It did partially, but you know, first when we were walking up in there, we had to like make our way into it. It was like hard to get in there.
Oh yeah.
Because it had this fencing. And that's all I could, it's like fencing. And there is no way that just happened. Trees and sticks and 6 feet long or high, 8 feet long or higher, 9 feet long, whatever, don't just fall from the sky and interweave together into a fence. That doesn't happen. And, you know, it was one thing to just see it right there, that we had to get through it right there, and we had to move some stuff just to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't freak me out as bad, because I didn't actually notice that it had a pattern as much as I noticed it on the footage.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't see much out there. I think our excitement was just kind of keeping us from seeing what we saw on the footage. That was really crazy.
I know. You know, we're at the half of the hour already, so we're going to go to break, and we will come back and tell you the rest of the story. So hang on, we'll be right back.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Good evening, paranormal lovers. My name is Ra, and I'm reporting from the subterranean lair of the Mystical Spiral Radio. If you're looking to listen to the best paranormal discussions this side of the Kuiper Belt, then tune in every Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. and awaken to the beauty of your own consciousness. That's Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Let the Para-X Radio Network upgrade your gray matter. Spiral out.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. We're talking about Bigfoot structures, being in the woods, looking for Bigfoot, remote viewing, location that we believe that Bigfoot could be at or something Bigfoot related, and going there and finding that there actually was something there, right, Jenna?
Yes, there was. You are absolutely correct.
So I just posted a link in the chat room so people could see some pictures from that location. They're actually screenshots from my paused video. And just so you know, they're not altered in any way other than sometimes I put some text on them. I didn't brighten the photos. I didn't crop them. They are full screen as I saw on the camera. So I know a lot of people out there, when they're showing what they found in the field, that's very zoomed in and zoomed in, like I don't know how many times they've zoomed in and zoomed in again. So that those aren't zoomed at all. So that's complete screenshot, not zoomed in. So the very first picture on there is, it says remote viewing Bigfoot on the picture. That's the only thing I changed about the picture, was to put text on it. So I didn't even crop it. You can see at the bottom it has the play screen on there from the video. So I put some text on there. And the other text says location found via GRV, which means geographic remote viewing. Team drove to and parked 75 feet away from this intricate stick structure. Now, this is what it looked like as we approached it. Actually, this was looking up, because at the bottom of this, what looks kind of like a tower, at the bottom of that, it was another big thing. So where this bottom of this tower begins is kind of at the top of our heads. So I was actually looking up here. But to the right of that tower looking thing, where underneath and behind where it says remote viewing Bigfoot on that picture, you can see this weaving of sticks together. And it was very tall. I am like 5'9"-ish, I think, 5'10" maybe. I think I'm more like 5'9". and this was way over my head. And it didn't look like, it didn't pop out to me like that when we were there. Like, this is a pattern. This didn't just happen. You know, I was hardly looking at that. I was so busy looking at the bigger structure, trying to see if there was something in there that was moving. I mean, I was very focused on that because I kept thinking I was seeing something out of the corner of my eye, and I would turn to look at it. And then I couldn't, it would just be like a flash, and then I couldn't see it anymore. And it was bugging me. Did you have any of that, Jenna? Did you see anything out of the corner of your eye that you thought something's over there?
That was happening to me. That, it's funny you say that, because I would turn my head, and you know, when you see something, but you really don't see something, you just turn and nothing's there. I felt that a lot actually out there.
Doesn't that make you think of what Squatch Man said to us when we visited his hot spot in Indiana in September?
Yes, it does.
What did he say?
He said a lot of times if you quickly turn your head, you might catch more of a view, because they're used to people focusing and being slow about it with their cameras. But he said sometimes if you, like, especially with a camera, if you take a quick picture on the side of you, and then he explained it. How did he say the movement of the eyes were?
I said rapid eye movement.
Rapid eye movement, yeah.
And he says look all over really fast. So, and then he will see more than if you were just to look in one area really deeply. Mm-hmm. So we were trying that rapid eye movement thing out there in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I started to do this. I have this thing that I would do anyway when we were out looking at whatever we're looking at, whether it's a paranormal location where something haunting is going on or whatever, or if we're looking for Bigfoot or if we're in some area where something supernatural is happening. I am a big believer in doing some selfie videos and pretending that I'm just taking pictures of myself. Because I just keep thinking, something wants to sneak up on ya.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just pretend like I'm doing selfies and maybe I'll capture it on my video.
And you've actually caught a couple of things, haven't you, Jen?
I have. So, you know, my playing dumb works sometimes. So it's not just on the police officers when I get pulled over for speeding.
What?
What? I was speeding? What? Oh, my gosh.
Well, now they know, Jen. Now they all know.
Aren't you Jen Cruz? I heard you say that on the radio. Honest, I didn't know. No. Anyway. But, you know, I don't think about what I'm doing very hard. I figure they can probably sense what I'm doing anyway. So I try not to think about my intention. That's the other trick. I focus on, I'm taking a selfie. I focus on that.
Very smart. Very
smart. So I'm not sending out a vibe. This is, I'm trying to trick you. and capture you on my video. So, but yeah, if you ever see me, you know, doing a lot of selfie action, I might just be trying to catch something I might not even hardly have myself in the picture. If I'm ever posting selfies of just my eyeball or half my face, it's because I'm trying to get something behind me.
Oh, funny. And excuses. I don't know if I believe that. You do that in town too, Jen.
I do that in town. You're right. But there's always something somewhere, right?
You're right.
I actually had my neighbor at my office. He has a friend who often stops by and she walked by my office as my client was leaving today. And so I'm like, hey. She says, hey. So she comes in to visit. And as I'm talking to her, she kind of jumped back. And I'm like, what? She goes, there was an animal that was just sitting on the back of your chair and it just jumped down. I'm like, oh,
interesting.
Okay.
Did she say what kind of animal it was?
She didn't know what kind. She just said it was darker colored and like the size of a cat.
Mm.
And she knows that there wouldn't be a cat there. So it really shocked her. So that was kind of funny. So I probably have a pet of some kind.
Do you think everyone has a pet? Do you think everybody has an animal?
A spirit
guide?
Animal?
A spirit animal, guide? Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question, Gemma. I've never thought about that before. In like the native way of thinking, people have like their animal spirit guide, which is supposed to teach them something that they need to know or whatever. But I didn't think that that was something that everyone believed in, or I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. I'll have to ponder it.
Wouldn't it be interesting if it was her spirit guide, her spirit animal that she saw? Well,
I have had people say that they see this, but it's a lot bigger cat. That's with me. Other people have mentioned seeing this tiger with me that wears a red collar around his neck. And like we're talking full size orange and black tiger. And that it just usually sits at my feet and like my pet or something. I don't know.
Very cool.
Multiple people have seen it. So it's weird. I know. I'll tell you. It's weird. But
very cool. Sorry, it's changed the subject.
I know. One of the ladies that came to see me, I can't remember if it was 2001 or 2002, but she was a native lady from really far out in North Dakota somewhere. And I thought it was really odd that she had made an appointment to see me from so far away. I thought that was very odd. I knew something was up the minute she made the appointment. I'm like, this is odd. And when she came in, you know, she started talking. She identified me as being Native the first thing she said. And at that time, I was dyeing my hair platinum blonde. I looked like a Barbie doll. No one had ever looked at me and said, that's an Indian. So, you know what I mean? And she walked, that's, you know, first thing she said. So I was like, what? And the whole time I was working with her, you know, I work hands-on, she was telling me all about myself and the people in my life, and she was calling them by name. And she told me about people I didn't even know yet.
Oh, wow.
By name. And at the time I was dating someone, and she said, oh, you really like Mike. And I said, what? And she goes, you like him. You like him a lot. You like Mike. And I go, I don't know what you're talking about. And she goes, honey, you really like him. You may call him by a different name, but his real name is Mike, I'm telling you. And I was like, what? So I had actually had a date with him later that night, and he was going to make dinner at his apartment. So I went over there, and I was kind of freaked out by this, all the things that this lady said to me, because, you know, she told me stuff for like 2 hours about my life and my future and like really bizarre. And she was right about a lot of things, like that my, you know, the sister who lives with you, who's not your sister, how is she your sister and not your sister? You know, and she was confused. How is she your sister but not your sister, the one who lives with you? She's sick. She's got cancer. How is she your sister and not your sister? And I was like, oh, well, she's my cousin, but I lived with her family when we were growing up for a while. Oh, your sister but not your sister.
Wow.
You know, she's like, she's got cancer. I said, yeah, I know. That's why she lives here. I took care of her for quite a few years. So she said she's away right now. She's visiting her real sister, who's also your sister, but not your sister. And she said, Dawn. She's visiting Dawn. And she, like, called her by name.
Wow.
Both of them. And she goes, she's going to be late coming back, you know. 3 weeks later, then she said, she's still coming back, though. She was right, 3 weeks late. So, I mean, it was very odd. Anyway, I went over to have this dinner for my dinner date. And I was telling him about this weird lady and all the stuff she said. And I told him about Mike. I supposedly really like Mike. And I said, you know, I have a client named Mike and I like him just fine, but nothing like what you're saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of looked white all of a sudden when I told him this. And he excused himself and he went back in his bedroom and he came back with his high school yearbook to show me his picture in there with the name Mike underneath it. His real name was Mike.
Weird.
Yeah. That his name was Mike. He was using his middle name because he didn't like his first name. So everybody knew him by his middle name, not his first name. And I didn't know.
And did you really, really like Mike?
I did. Dang it. I accidentally told him that then, didn't I? So
mm-hmm.
I did. So that was off subject there. How did we get there?
My fault. You know what? I'm going after the squirrel. Sorry.
And I am so easily following that.
I know. I'm sorry.
Something shiny. But it's still on the paranormal world edge of things, I guess. So, so she was actually a medicine woman. And she with all the words that she tried to tell me to explain how it was that she was doing this, and she kept saying she was sorry, but I was touching her so she couldn't help it. It just comes out. She saw the tiger too.
So did you ever see her again after that? Did she ever come and visit you again? Or do you think that was like a one-time thing where she came to visit you because that was what was supposed to happen? Or did you keep in touch with her?
You know, for the life of me, I've tried to remember what her name was and I can't. And because I would love to talk to her again. I don't even know if she's still alive. I don't know. There was something about her that was very unique that I think that if I went out to the reservations out there and I said, if I said I'm looking for a woman who has this, I think they would know who I was talking about.
Really?
Because she had some scarring and stuff. But I think that they would know who she was if I started describing that. And how she got the scarring, they would definitely know who I was talking about. Whether or not they would tell me what her name is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did have a client in my office one time, and I knew he was somewhere from way out in North Dakota. Hey, we're going way out in North Dakota this weekend.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey, maybe, wouldn't that be cool if she came? Let's put that out there. Please come to our Bigfoot meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Please. That would be so cool.
That would
be just
cool.
Set it on the air. So if she shows up there, boy, that's going to be something. We'll be like, guess what, everybody? She showed up.
Right. And then I could meet her, too. That'd be really exciting.
That would be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I have, because I think it would be really cool to talk to her now that I know more about what she was talking about. At that time, I was so clueless. So, and I've changed a lot since then. But, you know, part of me thinks that she probably started my awakening process when she came to me. That she probably was trying to quicken me in some way, I think.
Wow.
Because it was just so odd that she would drive that far to come and see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seemed so bizarre.
Kind of like it was just time. It was almost destiny kind of a thing. Do you believe in destiny?
To some degree.
Or fate?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that she knew way a lot about me. And I know that from experience now, that when I encounter others that I am soul connected to,
mm-hmm.
like I'm soul connected to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes when I meet these people and cross paths with them, like I met this young man in Canada from Canada. He came to an event that I was at, participating in. It's called the Wild Food Summit, where the reservation puts on a Wild Food Summit, where you're learning what you can gather and what you can eat that's already there in the nature, right? So it's like, this is like a 5-day camping thing. And so I went to this, and there was something called the spiritual tent, where they had an elder, native elder from the north shore of Lake Superior, and she was telling stories all the time about the plant nation, the plant people, the plant nation, and their connection to us. And so I was just fascinated by the stories. I could have cared less to go out at that point. As long as there were stories coming, I wanted to hear those stories more than anything. So usually if there were guys that came into the spiritual tent, they'd turn around and leave right away. But this guy actually sat there and listened, and I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. He's not leaving. He wants to know this stuff. He came back again later, and he wanted to hear more. And so I actually had ran into him in the food line where we were in line to dish up our food. And, you know, I think I talked to him for 10 or 15 minutes that day, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. And it was probably 2 years later or so, I opened a new Facebook account and decided to send a friend request to everybody who had gone to that event. And when I did that, he's like, oh my gosh, how did you find me? I've been so psychic since I met you. What did you do to me? He knew it was because I did something to him. It was my fault that he all of a sudden was so psychic. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that happened. You know,
was he the first person? I'm sorry to interrupt. Was he the first person that you realized that this was happening to?
No, I knew that that happened. I knew because it had happened to other people. Not quite as severely as it happened with him. But, you know, he wanted to show me what he could do. And all of a sudden, and we were chatting online, so not even like verbally, even typing to each other. And all of a sudden I could feel this like ping pong ball ping ponging inside of me. I'm like, what are you doing? And then he starts asking, where's that place where we lived with the log house by the creek in the river? And we sweat in it. And then we did this and then we did that. And so he was remembering my memories.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
I know.
Had anyone else done that? Has anyone ever? Oh, okay.
No.
So do you think
that's a gift, you know?
What kind of a gift? I mean, do you think he was just that connected because of your time together?
No, that was his gift. He could do that. He could connect with someone and remember their memories.
Oh, wow. So you just kind of triggered that in him, and then he just started doing it. That's really cool.
So meeting me started his awakening.
Just like meeting that gal started your awakening.
Yes. And I think that she may have been seeking people out for that purpose. That's what I feel now, that she was seeking people out to awaken them. So I think that's what was going on there. So, but of course, at the time, I didn't know anything about that. And this was just all very weird to me. Because I had always just tried to make all that stuff go away. I was ignoring it. I wanted to be normal. Yeah, so and here we are, not normal anymore, huh? Mm-mm. And not even pretending to pull it off. So,
who wants to be normal? I'm sorry, but some of the most unique people in the world are not fitting into that normal little box that everybody's supposed to fit in. I like living outside the box. Dang it, break that box, baby. That's all I have to say about that.
Yes. So, anyway, that was the story of her. And since we are going way out into North Dakota this weekend to Minot, North Dakota, I'm just going to put it out there. If you're still out there somewhere, come see us. We'll be at we'll be in Minot at the Sleep In Conference Center. So on Saturday. So hopefully, and you guys have heard it here. So if she actually shows up and we come back next week and say, oh, she was there. Wouldn't that be so cool? I think that would be just really super, super cool.
It would be even more cool if everybody listening to this station right now would go to Minot and come visit us and say hi.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have room for that then. Actually, I put out the press releases and everything, and I haven't looked to see if anything was in the news or whatever, but because I haven't had time to today, but all that stuff should be out there now. So I did see that in the other event page, but a bunch of people are talking about it on our post. So, yeah, there people are just responding to it so heavily. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And we're going to show a little bit of video from our footage when we're there. We're going to bring a big, huge TV along so people can see what we can even have it playing in the background, you know, so people don't have to hear us talking and, you know, our great Minnesota accents. Oh, don't you know? Is that stuck in there right there? Is that just shoved in the ground right there, Jen?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I said that.
I know. Oh, no. Is it? No.
For you, it feels like mulch. I mean, it just feels like mulch.
Yeah, how many times?
It's like mulch.
It's so soft. It's so soft, it feels like mulch. You guys just have to see the video.
It's so silly. Anyway, we'll turn the volume off and we'll just let them see it. They don't have to hear us blah-blahing. So, I see Fred says, Jen seems to know how to talk like that, LOL. Yeah, that's because we live in Fargo, don't you know? We actually do live in Fargo. Just saying. Well, actually, I work in Fargo. I don't technically live in Fargo anymore.
I live in Fargo.
Yes, you do, Jen.
I love Fargo.
Lives in Fargo. I do too. Fargo is awesome.
Where are you from, Fred?
Yeah, where are you guys from in the chat room? Tell us where you're from. And why doesn't this sound like normal talking to you? Oh, yeah, don't you know? Right? So we're already coming towards the end of the show, and we still didn't finish talking about... We got sidetracked. Sorry. We're talking about the medicine woman now.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Sorry, Fred. Right.
Tennessee, wow. It's probably warm down there.
They
have a lot of Bigfoot down there, I hear.
I wish I was a she-squatcher. I used to live near Nashville in Brentwood, so I know the area.
Jenna, you've been all over the world, I swear. I've traveled.
I've been everywhere, yeah, I've been everywhere.
Yes, she has. I kind of stick close to home in Minnesota. Midwest, I've gone to East Coast, West Coast, Colorado. I kind of like the Midwest. I like it here. So, we're going to be this weekend in Minot, North Dakota. Come out and see us. The She Squatchers will be there, and it's going to be a fun time. And we're going to be showing some footage from our adventures. And Marlo's got our YouTube channel up and running now. We just have to tell her which videos to upload. That's the harder part. Selecting which ones to put up there, and are we going to edit them, or are we just going to slap them up there? That's a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It takes a long time to decide what we want to do where, and I don't know if it reduces the quality of the video when we edit them together. I have no idea. Maybe you can tell me the answer to this question. I am not a tech girl. And by the way, the She Squatchers are taking applications for new members. If you are a audio-video professional and you know how to do professional video editing, we want you. Imagine Uncle Sam with my face on Uncle Sam going, we want you.
That's funny. I just had an image of Bigfoot saying, we want you.
We want you if you are a video professional that can it can just do all that magic easy smeezy, because to me it is like, wow, I can remote view like nobody's business, but these programs are kicking my butt, just saying.
Yeah, well, and it's not only that, it's deciding, like you said, we've got so much information, it's hard to decide what we want to put out there, what we don't.
I know it needs to be interesting all the time, so it's better if it's edited with just the really exciting parts. But what are the really exciting parts? It's all very exciting to me. And I think for other Bigfoot hunters, they're going to want to see all of it, because I would want to see all of it. That's just how I am. What did they miss? I want to see all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am. So, yeah. So you can find me on Facebook, on our page on Facebook for the show. It's facebook.com/TheJourneyOnRadio, The Journey on Radio. And, of course, we'll be back next Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And we'll tell you all about what happened, and hopefully the medicine woman will have met us in Minot and just surprised us. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? She's still alive.
I hope so, too.
I suppose I could remote view and scan for her, but...
Jen?
She might be a little harder because I don't even remember her name.
But if you know her soul, her spirit, maybe you could try it.
Maybe.
Because you have a general idea where she is, right?
All I remember was that she lived on a reservation, that she didn't belong on. She was not with her people.
Oh.
I believe she was Ojibwe, so she was on a non-Ojibwe reservation. Because my mom is a member of a Ojibwe reservation. So when I heard where she was from, I remember thinking, you're not with your people. You shouldn't be there. We are at the end of the show, everybody. Oh, it goes by so fast, and we're going to miss you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It was great. And thank you so much to ParaX, our awesome network, and to our most fabulous producer, Sarge. You are the bomb, man. Thanks for coming on the show tonight again, Jenna. And
yes.
I hope it's a good night. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.